I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. Our guests, Steve Essick and Eugene Tauber, used Pennsylvania's right to know law to get expense records of members of the state legislature for their series in the Allentown Morning Call. They write about money moving in and out of expense accounts, payments for parties and gift baskets, and not much transparency. Legislators also get per diems for food and hotel expenses, for travel to and from Harrisburg, for events within their districts, and for meetings in and outside of the state. All told, the 253 full-time lawmakers spent $13.8 million in 2013 on reimbursement expenses. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's edition of Ballot Talk on Radio Times. Here with us in our Philadelphia studio is Steve Essick. He's Harrisburg reporter for the Allentown Morning Call. Steve, nice to have you with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us by telephone is Eugene Tauber, and he is the database editor for the Allentown Morning Call. And Gene, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Steve, let me begin with you and begin with this right to know law. You use this law to get access to this information. How hard was that to do?
Well, under the law, it wasn't hard to get the information. What was difficult was figuring out the accounting differences between the two legislative chambers, the House and the Senate. When you file a right-to-know law, under the law, they have 5 days to respond in some way, or say 30 days more for them to be able to compile all the records. Well, the House's records are all-encompassing. Everything is under there. The Senate's records, and I didn't know this at the time, not everything is under there because some expenses such as office rent and that sort of thing, consultants for that matter, fall under the realm of the Senate Chief Clerk's office, which handles that money. So if you do a right-to-know request for the Senate's expenses, if you don't phrase the right-to-know correctly, you're not going to get the full accounting.
Well, Gene, this is where I guess where you came in as the database editor to sort of pick apart this information. How hard was that to do?
The information itself isn't really complex, and the which is an issue itself. The right-to-know response came in the form of PDFs, some of which were more than 1,000 pages. But the structure of the data itself is relatively easy. Almost anybody who knows spreadsheets or databases could do it. The problem was trying, as always with government right-to-know requests, trying to get it into a form where you can actually manipulate the data and try to figure out what's going on. And we did put up on the Morning Call website the original PDFs that the state sent us in response to the right-to-know requests so that everybody can read line by line what it was we got and how we transformed that into the database.
Well, and the database and what you were looking for, let me go back to you, Steve. What were you actually looking for?
Well, I've been covering Harrisburg since February 2013, and a lot of reporters over time for decades have been doing these type of stories where you look at how much your local lawmaker spends and that sort of thing. So I just thought it was incumbent upon me to do my job to get these records. And when I got these records, they came in PDF form. The House and the Senate refused to give them in a database record that is more easily manageable for the public, although within their own internal accounting systems, these records are in a database form. The mm-hmm. Senate and the House, their chief clerk's office, can manipulate the data, can do what they want, but they refused to give them to the public in a similar format, such as Microsoft Access or Excel. So when I got all these records, I turned them over to Gene, and he was kind enough to put them into the database. At first, I wanted to do the records myself. I was using Microsoft Excel, and I killed Excel. There were so many records, and there were so many queries I was trying to do to count the data and manipulate the data and trying to see what they can spend money on that I ran out of cells in Excel.
Really?
And,
yes, really?
And Gene had to teach me how to do Access. And together we both started crunching the data because there are so many different cost categories that lawmakers can expense, especially in the House. For example, there's at least five different ways a state representative can catalog food. They can call it refreshment. They can call it a meal. They can call it lunch. They can call it all this other stuff. Whereas the Senate, there's one way or two ways that they can categorize food. And it's just easier to count that way. And we had to go through there and kind of put everything in alphabetical order to see, okay, what what do they spend it on? How is it categorized? And then do separate queries to count it all up separately.
Well, Gene, let me go back to you in that all of this raises questions and about transparency. I mean, you are both pretty seasoned reporters or journalists in Pennsylvania, and I'm imagining for a regular person just trying to understand where money goes, how it is spent by the legislature, you have to be pretty skilled in sort of deconstructing all this data.
Right. And again, it isn't that it's such a massive amount of data that, you know, you can't figure out what column means what, but it's the process that especially the House uses, that it's almost built to cloud the real meaning behind things. And, you know, Steve will talk more about this, I guess. You know, they don't use standard accounting practices, right. So you can't even tell what really is a positive number and what's a negative number. So if you're trying to figure out if money's coming into the account or going out, you have to look at other things. You can't just look for a, you know, plus sign or a minus sign. So, you know, again, the structure of the data itself is easy. The meaning behind what you're looking at is where all the questions start, and that's where, you know, the journalism comes in.
And I do want to pick up on that. This is the question about double entry booking. Right?
Yes, yes.
Bookkeeping.
There was a the House and the Senate, the legislature as a whole does an annual audit. It's not a real audit, mind you. If you ever see a school district audit in Pennsylvania, those things are all encompassing, where they're looking at the prior year's budget and comparing to this year and what those numbers were spent on them revenue. The legislature's budget doesn't come close to doing that. But there were recommendations within the budget and in the 2012 audit that was done. And one of those was mentioned a double entry accounting system, which I didn't know what it was. I'm not an accountant, but I Google it and I see it dates to, you know, the Middle Ages, and it's just basically
credits and debits.
It's
actually true.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yes.
And so I called around to an auditing firm in the Lehigh Valley that I used to deal with when I covered public education in the Lehigh Valley, and the auditor there was stunned that the legislature didn't use such a system, and we quoted him in the story as saying that. But when you that's one example. But as Gene was saying, some of the coding, especially in the House, the numbers are numbers that you would think would be a negative number are positive numbers. So the way the House system is set up, it's making it appear as if lawmakers are spending tens of thousands of dollars more than they actually are. For example, there's a one of the lawmakers we mentioned in the story is Democrat Steve Samuelson, represents part of Bethlehem. He spends the least amount in the House, $18,000, although he has the ability to spend over $50,000 a year. But the House's records, they call it, it's phrased, a reallocation of unexpended funds. If it's unexpended funds, and if Mr. Samuelson didn't spend that, you would think it should be a negative number. It's a positive number. So when we are culling all the data and we put it in an alphabetical list, I could see all these lawmakers. I thought all these lawmakers were getting lump sum payments of $34,000, $40,000, all this money, and it wasn't the case. And it took several interviews that at times got very testy with the House Comptroller's office for them to explain the record keeping system. It was a lot of unnecessary rancor between me and the House Comptroller's
office.
Well,
let me pick up on that. And Gene, let me go back to you, and even using that as representative as an example, what this series says is that members of the legislature get about $50,000 a year for their expenses. This Samuelson actually spent a little less than $19,000, and so obviously didn't go over his allotment or even use his allotment. Do most members of the legislature spend that $50,000?
Well, about I think a little less than half spend it. And again, it's kind of hard to tell exactly what they spend, because if they go over, some of those expenses can be reimbursed. And some members are putting in expenses that are really – they'll put in the description, you know, part of this expense is for this member, that member, this staff member. And depending what the expense is for, it can get reimbursed from a general fund. And like when we were talking about Representative Samuelson, you know, he could be applauded for his frugality for not spending even half of what he was budgeted. And, you know, the taxpayers can rejoice in saying he's saving us money. But, again, because of the complexity of the system, his frugality didn't save the taxpayers of Pennsylvania a single penny, because all that money doesn't go back into the general fund. It goes into special funds within the House where it can be reallocated to other members who actually spend more than their allotment.
Are there receipts? I mean, it seems, you know, anyone that works for a company or organization, if you want to get reimbursed, you generally have to have a receipt and be able to explain to the business office why you should get paid back. Are there receipts, Steve?
Yes, there are receipts, but that gets back to the volume of records that are there. If you want to see an individual receipt for someone's like furniture purchase, for example, you can have to file another right to know request for that, which is understandable because you can't expect the House staff to turn over every single record or every single receipt that a lawmaker turns in. Most, if not all, the purchases or the expenses, there are receipts with the exception of what they call per diems, mm-hmm. which is just a dollar amount they can get for coming to work in Harrisburg or somewhere else that's at least 50 miles away from their home district.
And if I could put that
go ahead, Gene. Yeah,
a little
go
bit
ahead.
Of perspective.
Sure.
For the House in 2013, we looked at 64,267 expense entries into the database system. So each one of those more than 64,000 entries could have multiple receipts. So you're talking a massive pile of paper to go through.
Well, indeed. And Gene, about a minute before our first break here, but are we talking about something illegal? Are we talking about just messy record keeping? Are we talking about a legislature that is sort of controlling how they spend money and not willing to share it with the rest of us?
The legality of it doesn't seem to be in question. I think the biggest discovery that we both had was just how messy the system is and how well that messiness seems to work to keep the people of Pennsylvania from knowing what their legislature is doing with their money.
Well, let's take that short break and then we'll get back to our conversation. It's Ballot Talks on Radio Times. Every Thursday in the first hour of the show, we talk about all things election or politics related. And we're talking about a series that's in the Allentown Morning Call. It has to do with the Pennsylvania legislature and its spending practices or habits. And our guests are Steve Essek. He's Harrisburg reporter for the Allentown Morning Call. He's with us here in our Philadelphia studio. Joining us by telephone is Eugene Tauber, and he's database editor for the Allentown Morning Call. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Much more after this very short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times. In fact, it's Ballot Talks on Radio Times. We're talking with Allentown Morning Call reporter Steve Essek and database editor Eugene Tauber about their recent and ongoing expose, a series in the Allentown Morning Call, looking at the uses of taxpayer money, the expense reports that raise a number of questions about taxpayer money and how it's being spent by the legislature. I believe Pennsylvania has the second largest legislature in the country after California, certainly up there. And we're talking about something like $13.8 million that were spent in 2013 on reimbursement expenses. We'll be talking about per diems and the like in a moment or two. I do want to remind our listeners you can join our conversation at 1-888-477-9499. Any questions or comments? And again, you can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Steve, I want to go back to the very beginning of your series. This is a guy named Doug Reichle?
Reichle, yes.
Reichle. And he was a state representative for a number of years and then elected to the Lehigh County Court. This was in November 2011. He had some money in his expense account. What happened to that money?
it stayed in his expense account.
So he was gone. He had moved on to another job.
Yeah. He is now an elected judge in Lehigh County Court. And I should say, I don't know if his money stayed in his account or not, but when we culled the records, Gene was saying to me, I can't find what district all these people were from. There's all these extra people. There's 203 members in the House, but the records we had were showing more than a dozen extra people. So Gene sent that stuff to me, and I saw Doug Regley's name in there, and I knew he was no longer on the court. But right. Then I could see the by
he's no longer in the legislature.
Yes, excuse me.
Right.
But by grouping all the dates together, I could see that for some reason all this money was flowing in and out of the ex-lawmaker's accounts in May of 2013. Doug Regley left the legislature in 2011 after being elected as a judge. So those records that we saw, the money coming in and coming out, were occurring in 2013. So when I went to the House and said, what is going on here? Why is this money for these ex-lawmakers still in the accounts? The response I got was, we move all that money around at the same time for all lawmakers. Well, the follow-up question obviously was, he wasn't a lawmaker. So I requested a copy of I asked them for if they had a written policy for how they expunge the records of ex-lawmakers. And I was told, we won't answer that question without a right to know. Well, I filed a right to know, and this is the response I got because I thought this would come up. It says, quote, when reviewing this information, please note that there is no written policy for closing out the expense accounts of House members when they leave the House of Representatives. So they made me file a right to know for a policy that didn't exist.
Well, Gene, let me go back to you, and I'll just quote from the series. A total of $157,556 was shuffled in and out of expense accounts belonging to 14 former representatives in May 2013. It's impossible to determine whether the money was spent or was transferred elsewhere based on the House's haphazard accounting system. Anything you want to add to that?
No, that pretty much sums it up. And again, because they don't use the double entry system, you know, first of all, discovering that there were so many former members who still had active accounts, and, you know, obviously these former members weren't doing anything. There was no activity in them. So somebody else on their behalf, or somebody, you know, in the clerk's office or wherever, the comptroller's office rather, was moving money around, whether it was, you know, for a caucus fund, whether it was for, you know, meetings that money got moved just for every member. It's really hard to tell without looking at each individual instance. And I just want to go back to one thing you mentioned when
sure.
we came back from break. You said that Pennsylvania has the second largest legislature. It actually has the second most expensive legislature in the country. California's is not larger. As a matter of fact, California only has 100 representatives for the entire state compared to Pennsylvania's 203. But I believe Rhode Island has something like 400 members of their House.
Okay, I thank you for that correction. Who decides? I mean, if we're talking about $157,000 that's in accounts of members of the legislature who aren't there anymore, who decides, Steve? I mean, who moves this money around? Who decides where it's going to get spent or how it's going to get spent?
Well, that would fall under the purview of the House Comptroller's Office. And again, we don't know if the money was spent. It could have been transferred back into those surplus accounts for those stated expenses. But again, the House records, it just shows the dollar amounts in there. It doesn't show what account those things – to the general public, it doesn't – the public does not know what account that money came from or what that account is supposed to be used for. To be fair to the legislature, the House Republican spokesman as well as the House Democratic spokesman, they were stunned to know that those accounts weren't closed.
They didn't know that?
They did not know that. They were equally stunned to know that the House Comptroller's Office and Chief Clerk's Office made me do a right to know for a policy that didn't exist. They realized that it was making them look – the entire legislature looked bad, and they didn't want that. So,
well, and Gene, let me go back to you. And members of the legislature get about $50,000? Is that per year for expenses of running their office?
That's correct. That's not including their salary. That's for running district offices, for There are travel expenses and lodging expenses, food expenses for constituent services, and that doesn't include staff salaries either. These are just things like in a typical business that you would expense if you go on a business trip.
And we mentioned per diems, and I mean, Harrisburg is in sort of the middle part of the state. This is a big state. And to you, Steve, the per diems come in if a legislator has to, what, travel more than 50 miles to get to Harrisburg?
Yes, that is the rule. If a legislator represents like Dauphin County, where Harrisburg is located, they don't they're too close to get a per diem. But if they represent Reading, which is a little more than 50 miles, about an hour and a hour, no, about probably 45-minute drive, they're allowed to get a per diem. Mm. The I did look it up, and it's a little bit it's not unusual. The average commute for a Pennsylvanian is probably like 20-some minutes, but the longer part of it is much much longer.
You write about a state representative. Senato?
Yes, that's it, correct.
Chris Senato, who, I mean, on the one hand, you can say this is a guy who has gone to every single meeting in his, I think, 20 years, all over the state. But his per diem is something like $30,000 a year.
Yeah, it's real. It's a hair under $30,000 a year. But, you know, the question is, does he need to travel that much? When you add up all his expenses, he's on the road and out of his district office about half of the year. He's traveling. He's going to what they call the House Democratic Policy Committee meetings. Those are non-legislative meetings. They're set up so the Democrats and Republicans have them too. They can get like-minded people together to talk about certain issues that may be important for their agenda.
Right.
And those meetings are all over Pennsylvania. Topics, as we reported in a story, often repeat. They have meetings everywhere in major cities in Pennsylvania on Medicaid, school funding, all these different issues. And Mr. Senato is going to every single one of them when he's hearing the same thing over and over and over again.
Gene, let me go back to you, and then we've got a bunch of callers, and I have some email comments as well. So how many days is the legislature actually in session where they're actually holding their session meetings?
I forget. What is that, Steve?
In 2013, it was 81 days in the House and 75 days for the Senate. The rest of the time, they're in their district office doing constituent service. They are full-time. They make over $84,000 a year. And they also get what is called a COLA, cost of living increase, every single year under a law passed in the 1990s. So their annual salaries are going to go up come December.
And yeah, go ahead, Jim.
They're not spending money just when they're in session. Obviously, if they're working in district offices or doing things in district offices, there are expenses, well, as we pointed out in the series, for even things like water coolers in the district office, sometimes cleaning services or extermination services for district offices, and also the district office lease, which in the House is part of the overall reimbursement system. In the Senate, those district office leases came from the Treasury because those contracts are in a separate system.
And did I read this correctly, Gene? I'll put this to you, that a lawmaker can get a per diem even if someone else pays for their meal. For instance, they get a certain amount of money for a meal. Someone else picks up the tab. They get to put in for a per diem?
That's correct.
That is correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, the Republicans have chosen not to use the per diem system like that. And I'll let Steve talk to that. He talked to the caucus.
Yeah, the Democrats use the per diem system more often than the Republicans. It's impossible to tell exactly how many people from both chambers or both parties may be taking a per diem and then also maybe getting taken out to lunch in Harrisburg by a lobbyist, because these expenses that we're talking about are only for taxpayer dollars. We didn't lump in everything a lawmaker can take from a lobbyist, and they can take anything now except cash. They can't take brown paper bags full of cash like with came out recently in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Both chambers passed internal rules precluding that. They, however, did not pass official laws precluding that, just their internal operation rules.
And let me quickly reintroduce you. That's Steve Essick, also with us, Eugene Tauber, and they are respectively reporter and database editor for the Allentown Morning Call. And we're talking about a series that they have in the Morning Call having to do with spending in the Pennsylvania legislature, taking apart these numbers and finding some interesting trends, if I can say. We're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. A comment from Grady: with a Republican-controlled legislature and a Republican governor, why couldn't they pare down both the legislature and the amount of money they're allowed to spend? Don't they want us? Don't they want less spending and smaller government? But if I can go back to you, Steve, and Gene, you can chime in as well. I mean, as you say, this is something that the both parties do, no matter which one is in the majority.
Yes, yeah, that's true. But you can't pare down the legislature. The only way to pare down the legislature is through a constitutional amendment. And that constitutional amendment can take, by law, takes many, many years. The legislature has to pass the same identical bill in two consecutive legislative sessions. That's 4 years. And before it goes to the public in a voter referendum for them to approve it. And they can't reduce it because who's going to vote to cut their own job? That's what it comes down to. And they make $84,000. That's a lot of money for a Pennsylvanian. And that's not including health benefits, which are golden. It's a really, really good, cushy job.
Well, to Eugene, and in your series, both you quote from a number of government activists, people that want to bring about the kinds of reforms that Steve was just talking about. What has been their response to this story, this series?
Well, everybody is kind of pointing out that the real story isn't necessarily every nickel and dime that we're pointing out in the series, but it's how the system itself is, you know, when we're talking about sunshine laws and public accountability, the system is built almost from the ground up to keep the public from really knowing what's going on. And as we talked about, you know, a couple states have all these expense reports online immediately available to the taxpayers, so you can go in, I believe in New York State, and see exactly what your state senator or representative has spent for mileage or meals or hotels or whatever. In Pennsylvania, you know, we have the right to know law, and you have to wait the 5 days, and maybe you'll get a response in the form that they want to give you the response in. So I think what everybody is pointing out is that there just has to be more clarity, more transparency, more sense brought to the entire system. It's not necessarily that, the $13 million compared to the $2 billion projected budget deficit sounds like a drop in the bucket.
Sure.
But it's the fact that the legislative spending has been carved out of every other part of the Pennsylvania budget as far as transparency goes. They don't have to tell us where this money is going, and they should.
And there is a surplus. I mean, this is the money that they spend essentially on themselves, and there is a surplus. Is there not, Steve?
Oh, yes. The surplus is made up mostly of – not mostly. Pieces of it are made up by the unspent money. So if a lawmaker doesn't spend their full allotment, it rolls into these surplus accounts. And each chamber – the chief clerk's office, they have a surplus accounts. The caucus leaders have a surplus accounts. So there are, you know, I think there was 16 surplus accounts in the House and maybe 5 in the Senate, including the chief clerk's offices.
Well, let me get looks like Jasmine from Ardmore to join our conversation. Hi, Jasmine. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'm so curious because it seems that so much has been cut. I mean, especially like in regards to a lot of systems, but I mean, especially in regards to our education, so much has been cut to the point where there are schools where students come to class and they have two classes, what is it, writing and math, so that they can test, and that's it. And yet there's surplus that's just going back into buying fancy dinners, which I can't get the image of just like lobster bibs out of my head. But But is there any effort to reallocate this money into any kind of project, into any kind of any place in our state that has really been impacted by the budget cuts that, you know, have been necessary? But I mean,
I hear you. I hear you, Jasmine.
Yeah. Well, one of the quirks of the system is that, you know, as we were talking about one of our local representatives, Samuelson, before, you know, he spent way below his budget. And you would think, you know, the state should be able to take that money and reallocate it to another program. But once the money goes into the legislature's tills, it never comes out. So even if everybody, you know, every House member, every state senator spent below, you know, what they were allocated, that money would not go back into Pennsylvania's general fund. It could not go into, you know, an education budget or a transportation budget. It stays within the legislature.
To be fair to the legislature, there have been times where they have dipped into those reserves to help pay expenses someplace else. I believe it was 2011 they dipped into it to give public schools more money.
But at the same time, and we're almost up on a break here, I mean, if we're talking about $50,000 per legislator, even if they didn't spend it, that would not solve Philadelphia's or Allentown's education problems.
That's correct, yeah.
Well, let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation talking about a series in the Allentown Morning Call, a special report called Pennsylvania Legislature Spending. And we are talking with Steve Essek. He's a Harrisburg reporter for the Allentown Morning Call, has been writing this series. Also with us, Eugene Talbar, database editor for the Allentown Morning Call. And we're going to take more calls and more comments after this very short break and also carry on our conversation. Again, that phone number, 1-888-477-9499. We want to know what you think of the series, what we've been talking about. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. We'll be right back. This is Ballot Talks on Radio Times. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Steve Essek and also with Eugene Taub about their series in the Allentown Morning Call about questionable, if I can say, record keeping in the Pennsylvania legislature. Certainly has raised a whole host of questions, and that's what we're talking about in this hour of Radio Times. I do want to read an email from Dave, basically to Eugene and to you, Steve, a shout-out. He wants to salute the fact that while media everywhere are becoming thinner and more superficial, the Morning Call continues to do great, serious reporting and mentions you and some other reporters as well. In fact, John Misek, who we've had on the show before. But just, you know, you're a newspaper in a smaller city in Pennsylvania trying to dig through all these records, Steve.
Yeah, I'm the Morning Call's only Harrisburg reporter. Several years ago, we used to have two reporters, but through attrition, we only have one. So I often have to rely on my coworkers in Allentown, who are always more than willing to help me out, because I do have to cover the governor, the legislature, and some stay on top of the state agencies, the attorney general, porn emails, all that other stuff.
There's a lot coming out of Harrisburg. To Eugene, and as a database editor, I mean, more and more we do rely on the internet to help us sort of understand the world that we live in and to do some digging, as you have been doing.
That's correct. Yeah, and I have to say, for a smaller news organization, the Morning Call is really dedicated to doing this kind of watchdog reporting, because, you know, as you say, there's so much information out on the internet. We feel it's our job to actually verify what people are seeing and get the kind of information that isn't available just on a Google search. You know, we have to do the original reporting and try to make sense of what this data is and isn't telling our readers, and it's something that no other news organization will be able to tell them about what's going on in their backyard.
And there are watchdog groups. You mentioned Penn Watch during the break, Steve.
Oh, yeah. The Penn Watch website was created with great fanfare in 2011 by Governor Tom Corbett and the legislature. But as we were reporting on this story, I looked closer at the Penn Watch website and what was on there and what wasn't on there. And I had, after Gene built the database for us, I was looking at what would amount to more than 6,200 printed out pages of loose leaf of 73,890 records. And PennWatch website was claiming, is telling the public that they can't, the state will not list the reimbursement expenses because they are confidential.
Mm.
And that to me was stunningly inaccurate, especially because I could get that stuff under the right to know. And we had nearly 74,000 expense records. So that's what we wanted to point out too in the story is there, you know, on one hand, they're claiming transparency, state government, and this is not a fault of Tom Corbett's administration by any stretch of the imagination. This is a fault of the legislature. When they approved the creating the PennWatch website, they specifically carved out an exclusion to preclude PennWatch from listing expenses. This is not Tom Corbett's fault in any way, shape, or form.
There's also a comment in the piece about sort of not sharing this information, even within the government, a kind of separation of powers issue.
Yes, that is correct. Since Tom Ridge was governor in the 1990s, he started building a more business an accounting system similar to what a business would use. The legislature has refused to provide all the records that all the government agencies under the governor's jurisdiction, as well as the independently elected state treasurer, the independent Fish and Boat Commission, the independent attorney general. You click on if you go through the annual report or you click on PennWatch, you can see what these agencies or these elected officials are spending their money on. You can see how much Fish and Boat Commission spends on a boat and where they got it, where they bought it from. You can't see that type of minute detail of the legislature spending. And the records are just all over the place. They have rent records in like three different categories, so it would make it impossible to see those things. And the individual lawmakers' names aren't even on their rent costs on PennWatch.
Well, Gene, as a data person, does this seem like a kind of obfuscation on purpose or disorganization, or just allows the legislature to have their own rules and operate under their own guidelines?
Well, it certainly seems as if the system were designed for obfuscation, from the ground up. But, we can't tell whether this was just kind of a bungled thing that, snowballs as time goes on. And the longer the system's in place, the harder it is to change it and the more effort it will take. It makes people curious. And as, Steve said in his reporting, some members are even embarrassed about what they don't know about the spending. And, to the casual observer, you say, well, if you're not trying to hide anything or if you have nothing to hide, then why are you hiding it? So, if the legislature has nothing to hide in the way they're running their expense system, then why do they have a system that seems built from the ground up to hide everything that's going on?
And, Gene, would it be fair to say that the Republicans, that they have their money and that they spend as they see fit, and the Democrats have their own system, and it's sort of parallel systems, politically speaking?
They both use the same system. The big difference between, I think, the Democrats and the Republicans is the way that they handle the per diem expenses. But as far as who spends more, there's no real clear-cut party advantage one over the other. Mm-hmm. There are some big spenders on both sides. And, again, with how difficult it is to figure out exactly what some money is being spent on, because the Republicans control, the House, the Republican leaders tend to spend more for things, on behalf of all their members. So, like we had one expense for we're going to be doing a future story in consulting contracts, and a very large consulting contract that turned out to be not for that member, but for, the entire body.
Uh-huh.
So, it's hard to figure out what's going on if you're a Republican leader, you're spending some of your money on behalf of all the members.
So, Steve, is there any way to know who's the biggest spender in the legislature then?
Oh, yeah, we do have that, and I actually have it right in front of me. That would be, as Gene just said, that would be Senate President Joe Scarnati, of a Republican from Jefferson County. As Senate President, he's the top dog in the Senate. He spent $190,000. The average amount of that was $1,284. Minimum amount was $51, which is the per diem.
Mm-hmm.
And the maximum, as Gene pointed out, was $138,000. So that was for a consulting contract to do an evaluation of one of the legislatures in many internal bureaus or agencies that is supposed to help all members regardless of party.
And that's something you'll be writing about in the future, these consulting fees.
Yes, those consulting fees. And in the House, just so sure. You know, out of fairness, it was a Representative Ted Harhi. He's a Democrat, and I forget where he's actually from, but he was at $93,000.
Okay, just so we know. Let me get Dick from Langhorne to join us on Radio Times, or Ballot Talks on Radio Times. Dick, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to clarify one thing. It's the New Hampshire state legislature, which I believe is 425 members, is the largest in the country, or 400 members, I'm sorry, the largest in the country. And interestingly enough, they are true citizen legislators. They get paid $100 a year.
Right.
Both years that they're in, both legislators and senators, so that they are true citizen legislators. They're not relying on the public dole for their service. And it's just a much different system than we have here in Pennsylvania.
Indeed. Dick, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Anything you want to say, Stephen, in response?
Just as the listener said, just pointing out the differences, Pennsylvania has the second the salary Pennsylvania taxpayers pay their lawmakers is second highest in the country, only behind California, which is much larger. And only California appears to give its lawmakers more expense money than Pennsylvania does. So Pennsylvania is right up top there. And as we were talking about those per diems, when we were compiling the data, I could see that the House and the Senate gave themselves per diem raises. So instead of getting $160 for a stay, an overnight stay in Harrisburg, suddenly it bumped up around budget time, May, June, for both chambers, up to $185. So they did give themselves raises by that. There was no public hearing on that. There was no announcement in any way, shape, or form. They just did it, and we found it in the records.
Let me get Judy from Westchester to join us. Judy, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, this is Judy.
Hi, Judy.
I'm a small business owner, but I'm politically minded, and I've had political offices in my own field. And I know about, giving back to the community, and I do see it as a public service. But I know that if I ran for office, I could not afford it, and my business would take a huge hit. And I think you have to be very careful when you look at perks as to who can afford what, because if you cut them too much, the small business owner cannot possibly compete with the rich and famous. So I think those perks are there for other reasons. I'm not talking about all the ones that you're discussing. You know, I mean, maybe, 4 years beyond, for the continued salary, retirement, whatever you call it.
Well,
I just thought it was worth mentioning.
No, that's fair enough. Judy, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And maybe, Gene, do you have any thoughts for what Judy was saying? I mean, I think she was talking about perks that you get once you retire and things like that. But nonetheless.
Right. And again, we're talking about expenses that, many of them are legitimate. And, you're saying, are we uncovering, illegal activities here? No, but I think that the basic discovery here is that, the Pennsylvania taxpayers should know where their tax money is going, and the legislature should just be a lot more transparent and say, this is what I'm spending my money on. I'm not embarrassed about it. Everything is legitimate. Here, go look for yourself. And why are they making that so difficult to do? It just kind of casts a shadow of suspicion on the entire body.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, there is an aspect of this, too, and it's incumbency protection is what some of it can amount to, and that's what critics, be it good government people that track this kind of stuff in Harrisburg, or professors that are talk about this stuff. Is it's one thing to bring in as Dr. Tom Baldino, Wilkes University professor, told me, he said, it's one thing to bring in an elder abuse expert to talk to a group of constituents. It's another one to have a family day at Knoebels. Because if you have a family day at Knoebels or Dorney Park or some other place, a roller skating rink, what is the legislative purpose behind that? All that is really doing is getting into the voters' minds, the parents' mind that, oh, Representative so-and-so, they're such a good guy, good gal, they had a party for my child. I mean, so that's what it comes down to for a lot of this spending is what it comes down to. You know, and I was laughing, our Sunday editor, Christine Schiavo, I'll give a shout out to her, but she was she didn't want me to put flags in the story. How much did so-and-so
spend? Well, you did, though.
I did. I snuck it in.
There are a lot of flags in here. A lot of money spent on flags.
Yeah.
And you can argue both
right.
sides of that.
Exactly.
Sure.
And that's with both sides of everything else. The staffers for the and the lawmakers will say constituent service is a key function of their duties. Critics will say it's not.
Gene, I want to go back to you. I'm looking at the clock here. Steve writes about a guy named Dan Truitt. He's a Republican from Chester County, and he's been trying at least in the legislature to bring about some reforms for these per diems, but he doesn't seem to get very far.
Right, and it seems, again, the system works for a lot of people the way it is. It seems to be easy enough for legislators who, you know, when we talk to people, even the freshman legislators have trouble learning the system and figuring out how they're supposed to enter their expenses into it. And I think, you know, the per diem expense is probably up there with one of the cloudiest, most, you know, non-transparent kinds of expenses that we found in the entire system. You know, everything else is pretty much broken out. You can argue whether a printing expense is actual constituent service or just to get a person's name out there coincidentally 3 months before a re-election campaign. But, you know, a per diem is just like, as we were talking before, money in a brown paper bag almost. Mm. Here it is, and there's no accountability for it.
We have an email from Gary. I think a good way to end our discussion, who would be the appropriate authority to increase accountability? That's to you, Steve. I know you're continuing this series and continuing digging into this whole issue.
The folks who would change that system would have to be the legislative leaders from both parties and all four caucuses. They would have to get together and agree to make the system more transparent, whether to put those records online. And again, there are staffers for lawmakers who have been advocating for that sort of thing for many years because it would save them time.
Sure.
It would save the taxpayer money because you don't have staffers responding to these right-to-knows and multiple right-to-knows. You just put it online. They would have to do it. But it's a democratic process, and they can't just do it without their members themselves or a majority of their members in their own closed-door caucuses agreeing to change the system. And this system, I think, as our stories point out, it's built in a way that protects them. And they do make a decent salary as a Pennsylvania lawmaker. And there's a lot of spending that goes on there.
Well, we have to end our discussion of Ballot Talks on Radio Time. Steve Essick, thanks for joining us today on the show. He's Harrisburg reporter for the Allentown Morning Call. And Gene Tauber, thank you very much for joining us as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Database editor for the Allentown Morning Call. And we've been talking about their special report, their series in the newspaper called Pennsylvania Legislative Spending. Can't even read my own handwriting there. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes. And you can find out much more about this program. And do stay with us for hour two. We'll be right back. Thank you.